This is the Improved Photography Podcast, episode number 151. Today's episode was brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or photography portfolio for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter code IMPROVE at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Improved Photography Podcast. Today's episode is very special because this is doodads only. This is only the doodads of the week, the photography gear that we love. We're going to review the best photography gear of the year and also talk about our holiday gift guide, the kind of things that we recommend for photography gear and accessories for photography that we have bought this year and have tried and really liked. This is one that we're all excited for. If you're one of those artsy fartsy types who likes to pretend like you don't get excited about gear, just go ahead and skip this episode. But for everybody else, and we know that's everybody, that'll at least admit your gear addiction, welcome to the best episode of the year. And to talk about the topics are Nick Page and Darren Miller. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Let's get this started the right way. Let's go ahead and just hash this out. A few things that we're going to have to argue about. We have not talked about any of these things before. We just have the titles here and we're going to just try to defend our position and see if we can come to a consensus on some of these. So first question is this, and it doesn't matter when the gear came out. I don't care if it was released in 2015 or not. I'm just saying, like, right now, what's the best of all these topics, okay? Doesn't matter when it came out. So, you know, here it is. First question, best full-frame camera of the year. Yeah, I know you get different cameras for different things, but hey, you got to boil it down. What's the best full-frame camera? Nick, what do you say?
This is really going to be painful for me because I'm a Canon shooter, but I cannot with a straight face say that there is a camera in Canon's lineup that is better than the stuff over on the Nikon side. Like,
what's the camera then?
The D810, that camera is amazing.
It's an amazing camera.
It's got the best sensor. It's got one of the best focusing systems. It's just an all-around awesome camera. Now, if I was shooting NFL, you know, every single weekend, that would probably not be the camera. I would probably lean to like the 1DX on the Canon side. But if I was just doing weddings and landscapes and anything else where I just wanted image quality, I would probably go for the D810. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that that 5D Mark IV that comes out someday in the future, who knows when, is going to be amazing. So I'm holding out for that. But right now, I have to say it's the D810.
All right. I like to hear a vote for Nikon. Nikon still holds a nice place in my heart, even though I've dumped them. Darren, what do you say? Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. I'm still with Nikon, but I'm saying that if I had to pick one camera just for my use cases, I would say the D750 because I'm still a taller guy, still a rather large guy, and that articulating screen on there that tilts up helps out a lot, and I saw it help you out a lot in lots of situations so you didn't have to kneel down real low when doing some shots in China, Jim.
Yeah, that is nice. The D750 is a very compelling camera. The deeper grip is nice. It's less money. It has that articulating screen, has Wi-Fi. There's a lot to like on the D750. Which would I pick, the D810 or the D750? Tough choice. I'm going to have to say this time the D810, just because I like Nick said, I love the image quality from the D810. I mean, it is so good. But I don't know. In China, I was really glad to have the D750. It was better than the D810 for that trip. So I can see this one argued both ways, but I would agree this time with Nick that the D810 is the best full-frame camera out there. Now, I know there are people who are screaming into their earbuds. Yeah. Like A7R2, what are you thinking? So why didn't that make the list?
Well, the thing is, like the A7R2, it's basically a D810 with a less than awesome focusing system. It's more expensive.
And a worse lens system.
Right. You know, it doesn't have the lens lineup that Nikon has, but it is smaller. It is cool looking, but the focusing system is just too important for the type of photography I do. If focusing didn't matter, that A7R II would be awesome. But if we're talking all around camera, like just performance, D810, it's still beating the A7R II in my opinion.
And mine's not so focused on focus speed, but it's more so that I see a lot of those shooters shooting with Canon lenses using a Metabones adapter. And to me, I don't like it because it's counterintuitive that you have to put a Canon lens on there to fill the Sony lens hole that they have there, and then still suffer from possible issues of the lens not talking to the camera correctly.
I know we're going to have some photographers who are mad at us over this one, because that A7R II, I mean, there is a lot to love about this. I could definitely see myself buying that camera for the type of photography that I do. But I don't know. I still say that if you just say the best full frame camera, I still give the edge to the D810 for this year. I doubt that's going to be the case next year. All right. Best crop sensor camera of the year. You can only buy one crop sensor camera. What's it going to be? And this is, we have a separate category for mirrorless. This is still DSLR land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm voting for the Canon 70 Mark II.
Yep, I'm right there with you. 7D Mark II, the sensor is so much better. The frames per second is nuts. Like, it is so much fun to shoot with. Really a great camera. If I was doing more wildlife and bird photography, that would be the camera for sure.
Very compelling camera. What do you say, Darren?
And if you've listened to Jeff Harmon's advice of building up your Nikon lens system with full frame lenses, and you need to go with Nikon, I'm saying it's neck and neck in between the 7D Mark II and the D7200. If you look at the research in between the two, they're really, really great contenders in the APS-C world with DSLRs.
Very good. All right. Best mirrorless camera of the year. You know where I'm going on this one. It's the Fuji X-T1, the first mirrorless camera that ever convinced me to move over from my Nikon D810. It really is total personal choice of what you need your camera to do and what you want your camera to do. But for me, it was the trip to China. And then like 2 weeks later, I went to the Chicago conference, and the trip to China, it was an amazing photographic experience, and my back hurt for all of it. It was too heavy, all the gear I was holding and taking around with me. And I did miss some shots because I said, ugh, I'm not bringing that heavy 7200 with me. And then a 7200 kind of opportunity would come up. And I thought, okay, I've got to make a change. I'm missing shots because, you know, I might have this amazing image quality, but not if I didn't bring the lens with me to even capture the picture. And so that happened. And then I was speaking at the Out of Chicago Photography Conference this year, which was an excellent conference. And I don't know, I was talking with some of the other presenters, and they ganged up on me, and they kept showing me their cool little cameras. And I said, you know what? I can give up 5% image quality, 5% of resolution, really. I shouldn't say image quality in general. 5% of, I can give up resolution to get a camera that's actually going to be with me and taking pictures. And that was a great choice for me. Darren, what's your mirrorless camera of the year?
Mine is the Panasonic Lumix GX4, or GH4. My choice behind that is similar megapixels. I think it's 16 as well, like the Fuji, but also everybody raves about the video quality that comes out of this. And since video is becoming such a big deal, even to photographers, this is my recommendation.
Cool. Nick?
The Sonys were not the best full frame of the year, but they are the best mirrorless of the year. The A7R II, hands down, best landscape mirrorless camera there is in existence. It is amazing. It's awesome. Image quality is awesome. That would be my choice if all I was doing was landscape photography. If I was going to do more video, that A7S II. Yes. There's so many acronyms.
I'm no kidding.
That the video quality, that is like king of the hill in my opinion when it comes to shooting video with a mirrorless camera. Like the video is awesome coming out of the thing, and the low light performance in video mode is just insane. It's nuts. So the Alpha cameras, they're awesome coming from Sony. So mirrorless cameras, the Sonys win it for me, for sure.
Very good. Best post-processing computer of the year. I'm going to say the iMac 5K, no doubt. It's the one that I'm sitting in front of right now. I love this computer. It is fast. It's a beautiful device itself, and it's tough to argue with that 5K screen. I don't know how you argue with this for post-processing. Anybody have any disagreements on this one? Maybe we should go that direction.
Okay, so wasn't it you that did a video about not being able to tell the difference between 4K and 5K? Wasn't this Jim?
not even that much. Just not being able to tell the difference between the old version iMac that was not 4K. It's 2550 by 1440, I think it is. Gotcha. And so it's, you know, 2.5K. And it's very difficult to tell the difference. I totally stand by that. And, you know, every time somebody sees that YouTube video, I get tons of comments or people emailing me that are like, whatever, you're stupid if you can't tell the difference. All I'm saying is when you actually put them next to each other, it's tough for most people to tell the difference. I can tell the difference. It actually took me a couple weeks to train my eye to see the difference. If I pull up the right thing, like if I pull up text side by side, oh yeah, I can point it out right away. But just like I just am watching a video or I'm just looking at a picture to be able to tell the difference instantly, it kind of actually did take me a little bit of time to train my eye. So unless you've actually seen them side by side, it's not a huge, huge difference. As long as we're talking about going from 2550 by 1440, which is already pretty high resolution. If you're coming from HD, just 1920 by 1080, oh man, you're going to see a huge difference. But if you're already higher than that resolution, it's a lesser difference. So yes, I think it's a smaller difference. I would totally forgive you if you wanted to save money and choose the older version iMac. It's not that big of a deal. But if we're saying the best post-processing computer, it's the 5K.
That's if you're an Apple fanboy. What if you're not an Apple fanboy? What if you're a PC user? Does that exist?
No. See, notice what you said. You said Apple fanboy and PC user. There's no like such thing as PC fanboy.
Nope, that's true.
Like, I still tolerate it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I have to say that a large part of my my preference comes from my not wanting to learn something new. And I'm going to admit that, like, I've been using PC computers since, you know, Windows, the original. And I've never owned a Mac. And the idea of learning a new operating system is not super appealing to me. I would rather learn a new piece of editing software rather than a new operating system. So, and plus there's the price thing, right? Like, you know, you can go to Dell and just spec out a computer and spend far, far less than you're going to spend getting a Mac. So, and I don't think that the performance difference, like there's not a whole lot of benefits of being a Mac user other than just being comfortable with what you're buying, I think. So you can save a lot of money. You can build a more powerful computer for less money. Like, it's hard to argue with going with PC if you're...
Except if you're going with a portable computer. And that's why I'm kind of siding with you, Nick, but I looked at some configurations for getting myself a portable laptop configuration. And I almost went with you on PC, but I did find myself a MacBook Pro that has an i7 processor in there. And because, like I said, I'm getting into video more, I wanted that i7 speed. But yeah, looking at it, comparing it side to side to a Dell that has a faster processor, i7, flash storage, and a ton of RAM, we're looking roughly at $3,199 for the Apple, and yeah, it's still $500-$600 less for the Dell. So I can see your point. You could do some good things with that $500 or $600.
Yeah, it's a lens less. Let's put this into perspective. You could buy a pretty decent lens for the difference in the price, and you can still have a faster machine, or at least a more powerful machine. It might not last you as long, but you know, it's going to be awesome while it does last.
Well, I see, we could rewind the Improved Photography podcast and just hear Jim Harmer giving the exact same speech that you just gave us, Nick. I've said the exact same thing on old episodes of Improved Photography, but Dusty O, when he was on the podcast with me, was Mac-like. it was like crazy embarrassing fangirlism, right? Like, I just went out to lunch with him last week and I was like, all right, let's see the Apple Watch. Cause I knew he had it. I knew he had it. And you know what? As far as the price, yeah, PC is a lot less. And when you look spec for spec, like, you just can't justify the Mac. But I will say that once I just bit the bullet and he finally convinced me to just try it for 6 months, there's no way I'm going back. 2 months in, I still would have said, nah, I preferred the PC. But once you really sink your teeth into it and spend some good time with it, tough to go back. The things that convinced me are, I have not had one virus in 2 years. I have not needed to reformat my hard drive in 2 years. I have all my apps that I can get from the App Store, so I know that they don't have any problems. The screen, the device itself is fantastic. I use things like AirDrop and AirPlay and, you know, going to the mirroring to the Apple TV all day long. The Thunderbolt that you get on Macs and some PCs, but it seems like Mac has done a lot more with Thunderbolt, is just fantastic. There's just a lot to like, and they keep their value. When you sell them, you really keep most of your value. I just sold my old version a few months ago, and man, I didn't even lose much on it, even after using that device for a year. So I don't know. It's one of those things that you've just got to try, but it's not like your photos are going to be revolutionized because it's edited on a Mac. It's just, if you're spending all day creating media, it's nice. That's all there is to it. All right. Well, we have lots more to talk about, but we want to thank two companies that have made the Improved Photography Podcast possible this year. And the first is Studio Neat. So Studio Neat makes some really cool devices. You already know Studio Neat from some of the other stuff that they've made, including some of their apps for photographers and media professionals. But today I want to talk especially about the Glyph. The Glyph is like one of those super cool things that you can just kind of pull out when you're on a photo shoot. And it's really handy for certain situations. Whenever I go out and shoot with you guys on our free Improved Photography workshops all around the world, I see people shooting with their $2,000 DSLR and then whipping out the cell phone to grab a couple shots. And I do the same thing. And the Glyph is perfect for that. It's basically a tiny little tripod attachment for your cell phone. It'll fit just about any cell phone. It fits even my iPhone 6 Plus, the big ones. It'll fit just fine. And it attaches it with a 1/4-20 thread on the bottom to a tripod or to a light stand. And then by attaching it on there, boom, you got it on a tripod. So you can, you know, do a long exposure. And yes, you can do that on the iPhone. There are apps for that. And you can even take multiple pictures in a row and then in Photoshop blend them to make it look like it's a slow exposure. Or you can shoot time lapse with it. It's just a really handy device. In fact, they even have a little attachment so you can hook it up to your keychain just to have it with you all the time. Check it out at studioneat.com/improve. That's studioneat.com/improve, and that'll give you 10% off on the Glyph or anything else on their store. And we thank them for supporting the Improved Photography Podcast. And by Squarespace. Squarespace, you know about Squarespace. We've been talking about them for a long time because we love it. I use Squarespace for my photography portfolio. Nick Page, I know you use Squarespace for your photography portfolio. Darren, you use Squarespace for your photography portfolio. And I used Squarespace long before they were a sponsor of the podcast because, well, I really like it. I run a website, you know, improvephotography.com is a huge website with, you know, millions of people go there. And it is a ton of work keeping the technology up there, keeping the, you know, paying for separate hosting and, you know, getting plugins to work and everything. You know, there are lots of different technologies for running a website, and some of them will fit different situations. But Squarespace is one thing that if you do choose to go with Squarespace, it's going to be done for you. And that's why for my photography portfolio, for selling prints online, Squarespace is an excellent, excellent solution for me. Plans start at just $8 a month. It has a bunch of different templates for you, so you can just choose your template right there, make it look different. You go on a shoot, you want to upload photos from a recent shoot, boom, it's right on your website in just a couple seconds. I was just down in Utah with Nick and Darren shooting for the last week, and you know, I had photos up on my website immediately before we even left. And that's something that I couldn't say with my previous solutions for my website, because it was just too much of a pain to update. So Squarespace is an excellent solution for your photography portfolio or anything else that you're doing. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code IMPROVE to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. All right, we have a lot more to go through on our holiday gift guide. First of all, the best camera bag this year. You only get one camera bag. Let's go through this quick. Darren, what's it going to be?
It's got to be my tried and true Click Elite Pro. Love it.
All right. And what do you like about it?
Storage capacity and finding new compartments all the time, and nothing has failed on it. All the straps hold together, everything's secure, and I don't have to worry about rain getting in my bag because there's a tuck away, easy to pull out rain sleeve.
Those are very well made bags. How about you, Nick?
So I have an F-stop tilapia bag, tilapia, however you say
tilapia.
And, you know, I've been really happy with it. I love it. But I'm happy to report that I have a Mind Shift Rotation 180 on the way.
Boom!
And I have a feeling that the f-stop is going to get left at home a lot. But
all right, so we were standing out in Utah. You, me, and Brian McGuckin were standing there comparing bags. Brian had the Mind Shift Rotation 180 Pro. I had the Rotation 180 Horizon. And you had the f-stop. So what'd you see in the Mind Shift that made you think you might switch?
It's all about that little side compartment fanny pack thing that comes out of the bag. Like that is just so cool.
Can we
cool.
call it a man pack? Come on.
Yeah, it's the man pack. But that just is going to have so many uses. Like being able to grab another lens, change your lenses without having to take your backpack off or like precariously perch it like as it is flopped open. That is going to be huge. As much as I shoot in the water and stuff, that's going to be so useful. So that
hopefully now you'll be shooting out of the water.
Yeah. And the
you don't really want to be shooting in the water.
And I could just tell that the quality of the zippers is better than the stuff on the f-stop bag. And there's nothing more annoying than struggling with a zipper when you're out shooting. Really excited to kind of compare that to my f-stop bag, and I'll report back. But I know I was supposed to have one bag, but I've got two.
And mine is the Mind Shift Rotation 180 Horizon. I like the Horizon. It's a little bit smaller. It's a lot less lightweight, and it fits my gear just right. But you know, it's just personal preference how big of a bag you want. There's the Panorama, the small one, the Horizon, the middle, and then the Pro. That's the big honkin' one. And I was trying everything I did this year was about getting rid of big honkin'. I wanted smaller gear. And it really has paid off for me. So the best photography accessory this year, there are so many to choose from. Nick, what's your favorite accessory?
You know, mine is, it's more of an apparel thing. It's those water socks that I talked about a couple weeks ago. It's the NRS Boundary knee-high water sock with the hydro cuff. And I finally had a chance to really test them out and put them to use. And it's amazing how warm they keep your feet. It was like 20 degrees outside, snow on the ground, way up in the mountains. I was standing in a glacial runoff river and my feet were just fine. I was in there for like 15 minutes, didn't even faze me. So I have to say that that's my best accessory that I've purchased this year anyways, just because it's going to actually improve my photography. There's so much of what I buy that doesn't actually improve anything. Like somebody looking at my photos isn't going to be like, oh, this must be taken with his Cam Ranger, or oh, this, you know, there's so many little doodads that really don't make a difference in my photography, but this one really did, because I'm going to be able to get places that I was not able to get before and get shots that I was not able to get before. So it's got to be my NRS Boundary neoprene knee-high socks. And I know it's kind of random, but that's my best accessory.
Knee-high socks. Nice. Yes. Darren, what you got?
Mine is the Platypod. Nick talked about it. We've had other people talk about it in the photography industry.
Wait, we had tilapia and now platypod.
I know, it's a platypus fish, right?
Is it platypod or platypod? I don't know.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, hopefully we know what it is. I mean, it's a little device you set your ball head on, your camera on, depending on how big your camera body is. It allows you to get into areas where tripods aren't allowed and still get longer exposures. And it helps you get really fascinating angles. Like you can actually set it up in corners of things if you're not you know, prone to accidents like you two are. You can set it up in a corner somewhere high in a room and then do a remote shutter from somewhere. But like I said, don't do it if you're accident prone.
So the Platypod basically just sits on the flat on the ground. It's just a, you know, a hand, you know, just the size of your hand, really. It just lays flat on the ground, and then you attach your head to it and then your camera, just so you can put your camera really, really low to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one word of caution, though, is make sure that your lens or camera body is centered on there, because it will tilt over. It kind of has that same thing that I think that the reason we don't have three-wheel motorcycles around anymore, it's the same reason why this should probably have a fourth leg in it.
And my accessory of the year is Trigger Trap. And I guess, full disclosure, they did advertise on one episode of the podcast, but this has nothing to do with that. I just like them. Stop the madness. Don't ever buy another cable release from your camera for the same price. Get the Trigger Trap, and it's like your cable release 4.0. It just has way more features, and it's cheap. It's the same price as your cable release. So definitely my recommendation for the accessory of the year. All right, best lens of the year. This one's tough. I know there are a bunch of different systems, but if you're just like, hey, one lens, you get one lens that's the best lens out there, what's it going to be, Darren?
Mine's the 35mm Tamron f1.8. I've been really messing around with tilt shift lenses lately, and I love them because they're changing my perspective. But I'm so darn impressed with being able to focus at just over 7 inches away from the sensor. It works great for so many use cases, doing macro shots, getting in without extension tubes, even works for ring shots at weddings.
Very nice. Nick, what do you think?
Since I bought it, the 70-200 f2.8 from Canon, the new one, the IS version 2, since I got it, it has not left my camera body hardly at all. When I'm doing portraits, when I'm doing weddings, it's just a workhorse. It's versatile. It's so tack sharp. Focuses fast. I love it. Best lens purchase I've made pretty much ever. So yeah, that's got to be mine.
Awesome. And I would totally agree. In DSLR land, you really can't argue with the good old 70-200. It's just excellent. And for my Fuji, there's the 50-140, which is basically a 70-200, and it's been absolutely fantastic. But you know, the lens that really stands out to me, reasonable minds could really argue this one, but the ones that stands out to me is the Tamron 15-30 f2.8. I bought this one when I was shooting my Nikon at the start of the year, and man, I really like that lens. It's for landscapes. There's nothing I would rather shoot. I would rather shoot the Tamron 15-30 than even the Nikon 14-24. And that's heresy in Nikon world, but I really like that lens. When you hold it, man, that thing is thick and tough. I mean, it is awesome. I just really, really like that lens. The image stabilization was the thing that really pushed me over the edge into loving that lens. I did not think I needed image stabilization on a wide angle lens until I had it. And in China, man, I got a bunch of photos that I could not have had without that image stabilized Tamron 15-30 f2.8. And the price is really reasonable for what you're getting. For a full frame wide angle lens, it's my favorite one out there. All right, best tech of the year. This may have nothing to do with photography, just the best tech gadget that you have this year. And mine, I was reminded of yesterday. Majid was asking on his personal Facebook about the Sonos, and I love my Sonos. Sonos is a wireless speaker system that you put, you know, put a speaker in every room of the house, and then you can control from your phone to play, you know, any music you can get on your phone, you can get on the Sonos, and it'll play, you know, all the speakers in the house, or you can group which rooms you want it to play. I have it even for my TV, so the soundbar and sub and everything in there is from the Sonos. It's just really nice, especially Christmas season. Like, I can just turn on Christmas music and it's playing around the whole house. That's my favorite tech of the year. They're pricey little suckers, but really worth it. I'm glad I bought it. So Sonos is my tech of the year.
My tech of the year is going to be a shout out to Dusty O, because you mentioned it earlier in the show. It's the Apple Watch. I bought one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I'm second in place for being an Apple fangirl like Dusty O. Jeff Harmon's going to hate that I bought one, but I bought one and it's really cool. It enables me to take really great selfies from across the room. And it also enables me to ping my phone when I leave it in the couch cushion. I can hear it beeping across the room even if it's on vibrate. So it's pretty darn cool. It's been life-changing.
It looks cool. For me, this is a version 3 device. Like playing with Dusty's, it was cool, but I decided, you know what? It's, you know, like I would press an app and like you could count 1,000, 2,000, and it like takes 3 seconds to launch any app. And so I don't know, it's not quite there yet for me. But once version 3 comes out, I'm in.
Right on. We'll welcome you aboard with open arms.
Nick, how about you?
So mine is just like a whole bunch of apps that I use for all my photo trip planning stuff. So everything in my life is photo oriented. Like I really don't buy doodads unless they're cameras.
Hey,
and
you
lenses.
Got photo socks. You got photo undies.
Exactly. It's pretty sad. I'm probably not much fun to be around if you're not into photography. But anyways, some of my favorite apps. I have Aurora Forecast on my phone. It's an awesome app. It basically gives you a forecast of the Aurora Borealis, the amount of activity, and gives you a readout of where it's going to be visible, stuff like that. The Photographer's Ephemeris, totally worth buying for mobile. It tells you where the sun is going to rise, where it's going to set. Same with the moon, what time. Given where your geo coordinates are, awesome app. Surfline is a new one that I just have kind of been checking out. And what's cool about that is it gives you a prediction for how high the surf is going to be. It gives you the exact time of high tide and low tide, depending on where the location is. It gives you all kinds of weather information. Really a useful app if you're going to be shooting on the ocean at all. So those apps are probably my favorite. I love them. I use them and it helps me plan my photo trips.
Well, very cool. Well, we want to get into a little bit of maybe we can call this a lightning round. We're publishing an article in just the next few days. It'll probably be on Monday on improvephotography.com. Jeff Harmon is posting our holiday guide for photographers. This is, you know, the best tech. You know, if you're a photographer, you have a $25 budget. What do you get? A $50 budget, $100 budget, whatever it is. And we just all of the hosts of the podcast, Nick, Erica, Majid, Brian, everybody's in there. And we all recommend what we'd get with a $25 budget. So we're going to do this as a lightning round, just to give you kind of a sneak peek of that. With $25 budget, I would get a 4-port USB hub from Sabrent. I am sick of reaching to the back of my iMac to put in cards, to put in USB things in and out. I do that all day. And I finally got this USB hub that just sits nicely below my desk and it actually looks good. Life improved. So that would be my recommendation for a $25 budget. What's yours, Nick?
Mine is the microfiber lens cloths, basically. You can never, ever, ever have enough lens cloths. I lose more lens cloths than I buy, I think.
Okay, like, why buy microfiber, though? Why not get a PEC pad?
I don't know.
Because PEC pads, you use it once and you throw it away. A microfiber, yes, the cloth itself may be lintless, but it's not like lint can't be on it. Lint can be on it. So you get lint on it, and then you wipe it again, and the lint comes off. Just use a PEC pad.
Personally, hey, I'm a microfiber guy, all right? Back off.
I give you a B- on this one. B-.
You know, PEC pads are great if you want to just, like, kill the environment. But, you know, Jim's not known for his...
Oh, brother.
Anyways, Elite Tech Gear, you can get a 30 pack for $20 and they will last a lot longer than PEC pads.
Darren, what you got?
Mine's for keeping all those USB devices charged. It's a 4-port USB travel adapter, gives you AC adaption, and also has adapters to work in plugins around the world.
Very good. All right, $50 budget. Darren, I'm going to have to piggyback on yours here because I see what you have written down as the YN560TX. Mm-hmm. I could not agree more. This is the best controller for your flash. I've loved YN560s for years. In fact, the cable guy came this week to install internet in my house, and he was looking around my office, and he was like, wait a minute, I think I recognize this logo. And he's like, I've been on your YouTube channel. And so we started talking about these, and he's like, so what flash controller do I get? And it's like, no, you want the YN560TX. Don't even look at other options. You want the YN560TX and a YN560 flash. It's just so nice to be able to control all your flashes from the camera, and works really, really reliably, and it's cheap.
Yes, very, very cheap, very reliable. And if it falls on the ground, it's $42, and you would actually scream and probably punch yourself in the face if you did the same thing with a more expensive trigger.
Nick, what's yours?
Mine is actually the Platypod. I totally sold Darren on it. I use it a lot. A lot of times when I use it, it's for like desktop camera stuff. Like all of my little YouTube videos and stuff, I set my DSLR up on it, and I can just set it on my desk. And that's really hard to do with a giant indirect
tripod.
How is
a Platypod better than a Gorillapod? Because to me, it's the same size.
No, it's much smaller. Breaks down way smaller. You can literally put it in this tiny little like 5-inch by 3-inch little case. You can throw your ball head in there, and then you can just like clip it onto your backpack, and it's tiny, teeny tiny.
All right.
It's nice.
This sentence in a time capsule, because 1 year from today, I'm going to ask you what the last time is you used the Platypod, and I guarantee you're going to say more than a month.
No way. I use it all the time. It's a great purchase.
All right, listeners, remember, you got to remind us, bust this sucker out a year from now, and we'll see. Darren, what do you have? Oh, you have the YN560TX. All right, the $100 budget, what would you get? For me, it would be the Ergotech Freedom Arm for the iMac. I love my iMac, but I do wish it was on a little stand. And I didn't even know you could do this, because the iMac is, I mean, it's a heavy computer, the iMac 5K. And so I didn't know there was an arm that could hold it until I found the Ergotech Freedom Arm. And it's $100, and you can attach your iMac to it, and then you can lift it, raise it, tilt it 45 and put it down, do whatever it is you want to do with the iMac. Very, very nice for your desk. Ergotech Freedom Arm for me.
Very cool. And mine is a mix and match bundled thing. And I will preface it and say it's $10 over budget, but it's totally worth it to skip those two cups of Starbucks. It's going to be a headlamp with some batteries that will get you through it. And
a headlamp that's more than $100?
No, not the headlamp by itself. Then you add a trigger trap to it with the dongle, and then you get yourself right at $110, and you have yourself a really good setup for doing some night photography.
Sweet.
So I know these guys are fans of the YN560 flashes, but I'm actually a fan of the YN568 EX2s. The reason why is because I like the ability to have high-speed sync, and the YN560s won't do that. These will do both high-speed sync and ETTL, and I like them for that. It's really nice to have the ability to you know, use that high-speed sync if you're doing fast action and you're mixing it with ambient light, because things can get weird when you're mixing ambient light with a slow shutter speed and then freezing it with a flash. You get some really interesting ghosting going on. So I'm a fan of the YN568 EX2s, and they run for $101 right now on Amazon.
Well, very cool. Well, I'm excited for the holiday gift guide to get out in the next few days on improvephotography.com. So don't forget to check around for that. We're going to have lots more on that page from all the hosts of Improved Photography, and links that you can, like, you know, subtly email over to your significant other and be like, hey, this looks neat, right before Christmas. And hey, you never know. But just for fun, as we sign out, Darren, what are you asking Santa for Christmas?
I'm asking Santa to actually give you guys this lens cap that's going to be similar to the Expo Disc. And my dad actually mentioned it to me, and I'm trying to find the exact name of it here. It'll be linked to in the article, but it's actually titled From Santa to Jim and Nick, and it's a snap-on white balance lens cap. And right now their price point is about $43, and you can snap on these little domes on your lens cap to see whether or not you have the correct white balance.
Dude, I'm sold. I'll buy two.
I'm out. Nick, what's on your Christmas list?
This year, I just want to go on more photo trips.
I thought you were going to say world peace.
I want world peace this year. I think this is finally the year. Now,
Yeah, ISIS, they aren't even that mad anymore. I think it's just about to blow over.
Yeah, exactly. It's totes blowing over. So, photo trips. I want to pour a little bit more of my money into experiences rather than gear. I want to go awesome places and see awesome things and hopefully take some good photos along the way. So I want photo trips for Christmas.
Very cool. Well, I'm with you there. And if that's on your list as well, listeners, we have one spot left in our workshop going to Guilin, China. That was the best photographic week I've had in my whole life. And you can join me and Nick Page, and Erica Kay is going on that trip. And it is going to be, and Brian McGuckin, of course, it is going to be an amazing experience. So check that out at improvephotography.com/China. And what am I asking for Christmas this year? DeWalt power tools. I'm terrible at anything handy. I'm just the worst at handy stuff. But you know what? I decided this year, I'm going to try to ruin my house with a couple projects. So that's what I'm up to. Thanks everybody for joining us for our holiday gift guide and the best camera gear of 2015. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We are looking forward to some exciting new things next year. We really appreciate your support. I appreciate your support for the Lightroom Steel that's happened over the last couple weeks. It is over now, so don't decide you want to go get it. I even got some emails from people that said, hey, you know, I don't even use Lightroom, but I bought the Lightroom Steel just to support you guys at Improve Photography. And that really means a lot to me. I put a ton of work into this. And so I'm glad to see that work is appreciated. Thank you guys for supporting us and all that you do. And we'll see you in the next 7 days.